Hello?
Podcast Network Asia.
We take for granted time. We think we have forever, but we don't. Everybody's going to end up there. It's just a matter of when.
You're listening to Project Loving Myself Podcast, a well-being podcast that shares stories of self-love, mental fortitude, and self-discovery. Hosted by life designer and well-being coach, Sanaya Gurnamal.
Hi, I'm Sanaya Gurnamal, and this is the Project Loving Myself Podcast. Join me each week as we navigate through aha moments, new ideas, and flashes of insight from candid conversations that inspire you to get started on your own project of loving yourself. Because the most important relationship you will ever have is the relationship that you have with yourself. You matter.
This is Project Loving Myself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiya, everyone. Are we staying sane despite the madness that is Omicron? I just got me out of quarantine myself after spending 3 days locked up in a room. And I mean, locked up is the right word. We couldn't leave our rooms and the elevators were locked too. So there was just nowhere to go. And I had my family in tow, but despite that, it was still kind of a very strange experience. Mentally, I felt trapped, knowing that I could not leave, even to go get a cup of coffee from right next door. Landing in Manila, I instantly felt like we were under siege with Coast Guards everywhere. Which, by the way, I'm loving those blue uniforms. So these Coast Guards were around, and the enemy being the COVID virus, of course. And it was kind of, you know, surreal. It felt like I was in a movie. The holidays themselves were literally like dodging bullets on a daily basis. I felt like I was on an episode of Squid Games. I was afraid of getting a positive test result before I got on a flight or once I landed, because that would pretty much be the end of it. For the 10 days that I would be quarantined, you know, it would be like an anticlimax to spending a couple of great weeks on holiday in Dubai visiting my family. I was kind of nervous that if I couldn't get on the flight, then I couldn't get home. I was nervous when I landed in Manila and I couldn't get out of quarantine. I mean, it was a lot of stress for a holiday. But I guess that's what this pandemic is for so many people. You feel like you're trapped, like you have no choice, and you can't live your life because things are just out of your control. And I totally feel you. I can relate. But I also want to share with you that it is when we are trapped that we can truly find freedom. When there's nowhere to go, you simply have to learn to accept what it is and focus on what can be. While in quarantine, I remembered to appreciate the simple joys of life, like stepping out for a coffee, taking a walk, clean sheets. I also got a chance to think about what I wanted to do as soon as I got out of quarantine. I even decided to get started on a bunch of things that I'd been putting off once I had a chance to finally get home. So I got the time to plan and assess the status quo, to discover what else I could and would do. And so the lesson in this is to accept whatever challenge we have to face and appreciate it for what it gives us. Some time to think, quality moments with loved ones, bringing us closer to God or what we put our faith in, new resolve to make positive changes, to recognize and have gratitude for what we take for granted. And often it takes challenges like breakups, separation, financial loss, death of a loved one, failures, broken dreams, and most often, illness to get us to the table. And once we find ourselves with a seat at that table of life-defining moments, we find ourselves at crossroads where we can change direction. We can course correct and perhaps even a do-over. we can recreate ourselves in a version that makes us proud. Which is exactly what happened to my guest today, Stephen Ku, who is known as a pioneer of the Philippine events industry. He is the founder of Eventscape Manila, a leading events agency that is quite the trailblazer in the marketing and digital media space, reaching markets across Asia. He currently serves as the founding president of LEAP, the League of Events and Activations Agencies of the Philippines. Co-founder of Worldwide Womb, Stephen and his team is behind some of the biggest concerts and music festivals in the Philippines, featuring headliners like Steve Aoki, Cascade, Tiesto, Swedish House Mafia, Avicii, Disclosure, Fatboy Slim, just to name a few. As a partner in some of Manila's biggest nightlife scenes, his crown jewels, the Palace Manila, which includes Xylo, Revel, and the Island PH, have consistently been in DJ Mag's top 100 clubs in the world. He's also a strong advocate of Philippine entrepreneurship. So without further ado, let me bring him on. Thank you for joining me on Project Loving Myself, Stephen.
Hi, Sanaya.
Hi, Stephen, and welcome.
I'm very honored to be here.
Well, it is definitely my pleasure to be able to interview you on this episode. And I believe you have quite the story to tell.
I do. Yes. Actually, it's funny that a lot of the stuff that you mentioned in the intro right now, I still resonate with, but I've sort of gone on another path. So I guess I'm on a new journey and there'll be new things that I would like to attach to my name moving forward. But that's what we probably can discuss today.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I believe I'm sharing the person who everybody knows. But in this interview, we're going to talk a little bit about who you are today and who you want to be in your future.
Yeah.
So I'm actually really looking forward to kind of unraveling that with you today. So let's start a little bit at the beginning. Tell me about yourself. I understand you were quite the social person back in the day. As you know, your very impressive resume illustrates. So tell me about the person that you were. Let's start from that so we can kind of see the journey that you have traveled thus far.
Sure. I'll give you a brief summary. So I was born in Baguio City, one of the few people born in that city. And when I was young, we moved to Manila when my parents split up, but managed to go to La Salle, managed to do well in La Salle, ended up being the student council president of La Salle at one point. And that's where I found myself. As early as college, I was proud to say that I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in marketing, communications, leadership. So I started one of the first few events companies in the Philippines, if not like one of the three. So there was no industry back then. I started with a bunch of friends from the school. And at the same time, I was singing professionally in a band called Fat Session. So that was how I was, in a way, helping myself get through college, helping my mom get me through college. So I was struggling. But I was having fun. So I realized as early as, you know, that time that it's possible to be passionate about something and yet be productive. And little did I know, I was already manifesting the future. I had written things that I wanted to do in the future. And, you know, I looked at it like a few years after. And the 10 things that I listed, I accurately all achieved, from financial targets to businesses to everything, to a lot of things like building a house. And that's when my journey to nightlife started, because while I was in the band for 6 years, I saw how nightlife was being done. I was doing events. I got my first big break from Luis Mael, who's known as the king of Manila nightlife. Took me under his wing. I started doing the nights, biggest parties in the country. You know the story. I was engrossed in everything, sex, drugs, and alcohol, or, you know,
the big three.
The big three. But not so much in a way that I really wanted it. It was more because I was there because it was part of the scene. Not that I wanted it. That's the thing. So built a name for myself in events, built a name for myself in nightlife. And then along the way, I did encounter a lot of turning points. And I believe in turning points. So I believe that I manifested this life, but it wasn't the life that I was meant to have. I don't know if you get my flow, but
yeah, I can relate.
So the turning points that happen, you know, when I say turning points, people will have turning points in their life that will totally change who they are. And for me, it's happened like maybe two times, or this is my third now. Now what I'm going through now with my health issue is my third. But every time it happens, it's as if I would totally be pushed to another path, and you know, my personality would change. You wouldn't believe that back in college, I was very shy. I mean, shy in the sense that I couldn't even talk to girls. And then here I am shoved into nightlife and events, and I'm like talking to girls left and right. And I'm like, wow, you know, I realize I have this gift. And I thought, wow, this is probably what I'm meant to do. And then now, fast forward, I was recently diagnosed with a very, very serious illness. Serious in the sense that it can cause death. And I'm still going through it. And it happened at a time when there was a pandemic. I found out because I got COVID. So you can imagine the chain of events that led me to find out that I got a serious illness. I got COVID. I got an X-ray. Then I found out about my illness. So, and then a lot of other really, really not so good things happen. And it's so easy to say, why me? Why me? What did I do? Or, you know, I hate this life. Or, you know, blame God. But I found it in me to find that inner peace to say, this is a blessing. So yeah, so maybe I'll stop right there first so that you can maybe, you know, if you have any questions.
Yes.
But essentially what happened was I'm now in chapter 3 of my life. It's a new lease. I don't know how long the lease is, but you know, it's a lease.
Amazing. You know, Stephen, you said that there was the why me, you know, there was a bit of the blame, probably anger, probably there was a lot of different emotions you had to go through. And then you went on to talk about how you realized it was a blessing. And how these, mm-hmm. you know, very strange events, I mean, from getting COVID to COVID being how you found out about your illness, which is now, you know, something you can actually, you know, work through. You can actually get the right help and medication to kind of deal with it. So you see the blessing. But how did you get from that, you know, very probably dark space of initially finding out and struggling with, you know, having to deal with something that was not anticipated, not expected, and going to a place where you can now see the blessing in it, which is a lot easier from someone, you know, looking in on that situation.
Yeah. Very good question. Well, to be honest, a lot of us, we live our lives thinking we're so lucky, we're happy, you know, we're rich, we're powerful, we have fame. And then you look at yourself and you realize you're not really happy. You're in a rat race. And that's what I didn't realize I was in. I was in a rat race. Yes, I was traveling, I was meeting people, I was partying, but I guess I wasn't happy. And if you believe, I mean, the matrix is so real, because if you believe that you're living life, you're not, until you take the red pill. And for me, the red pill was, you know, this awakening, you know, the threat of mortality. Because then you start to realize, what am I doing? What was I doing for the last 40 plus years? If I'm going to just leave this world in a heartbeat. So that's when things started to change. And that's why I said it's a blessing, because it's like I was awakened overnight. And we're talking about not just your mind, but your body and your soul. Like I literally changed my perspective, my diet, my lifestyle, the way my faith in God, everything was shaken to its core. And for me, I'm like, when would that happen, right? And a good friend of mine, Mark, his name is Mark Soong. He's a life coach. I don't know if you know him. But he put it really, really well when he said, why don't feel down, or why are you feeling down? Why are you feeling bad at one point? He said, you have an advantage because you are able to assess your life right now and reconfigure it.
Yeah.
Whereas the next Joe, you know, he thinks he's enjoying life. He's driving a fast car, a fast motorcycle. And the next thing you know, he smashes into a wall and he didn't have time to reassess his life.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh yeah, that's a good perspective, right? Because we take for granted time. We think we have forever, but we don't. Everybody's going to end up there. It's just a matter of when. So there. So I hope I answered that
question. Wow, Stephen, I have like goosebumps, especially the last couple of things you said. Like literally, it's true. We're all going to get there. You know, there's an expiry date to all of our lives. Mm. And hopefully we live lives that we, you know, when we leave, we look back and we are proud of the journey, or we feel like it meant something. Mm. We feel fulfilled in some way, or we feel like we've contributed to the world. You know, we talk about carbon footprint, but I also think about sort of what kind of a footprint are we leaving in this world in terms of our, you know, the space we occupied, the energy that we took in this world. What did we give back? What are we leaving behind? And I think for someone, you know, at the age of 40 to be thinking about things, I mean, it is a second chance. It is a chance to kind of, that's why I said in the intro, it's like a do-over. You know, you have enough time to reconfigure. You said configure your life, you know, in a way that it's something you are deliberately choosing to have, to be, you know. And I think that's the problem for many of us, is that our life is not intentional. You know, our life is just what it became, you know, where we kind of, where we got pushed into, or, you know, what other influences there were in our life. They weren't necessarily our deliberate, intentional choices of what we wanted. And I know a lot of people I've talked to, you know, they talk about what they wish they had, or they talk about, you know, the kind of relationship they wish they had, the kind of job, the kind of career, the kind of success. And there's a lot of wistfulness and regret, and there's a lot of pain, right?
Yeah.
But
100%.
Right. But then there are those people like you who get this chance to kind of wake up and say, wait a minute, I still have time to do it differently. And
yeah, I mean, a lot of people, they're so busy trying to make money and they don't plan how to use it, right? I mean, that's just a simple analogy. And if we're talking about what you want to do in life, is it about leaving a legacy? I mean, like, what's a legacy for? What does it do you for? What does it, you know, what does it benefit you to leave a legacy? You're going to be dead.
Right. You're gone.
But it's really more about how many lives you've touched,
how
many lives you've helped, you know, how many people you've given comfort to. I think that's what's important, because that's the human currency that maybe a lot of people, including me, didn't realize. And I'm working towards that. I'm not saying like right now I'm a saint, but I'm starting in my small little ways, like, you know, trying to bring people to God, trying to spread the news and awareness about the disease, or, you know, just spreading the awareness and educating people about, you know, living well. You know, what do you do to make sure that you don't get a disease and that you live your life fully? And a lot of emotional and mental things that you should be doing to make sure that you are actually happy with life. So, yeah.
You know, a lot of people, though, Stephen, are not cut out for that, right? A lot of people are not sort of, it's not in their nature. They're not inclined towards necessarily wanting to give back or contribute. It's not for everybody, right? But what's very interesting to me is I find that a lot of people who, you know, they were partiers They were drinkers. They were very social. They lived their life. Because I was a lot like that too. You know, I used to live in New York City. I was quite the, you know, the social butterfly at that time. I went to college there. I partied my life. You know, I really
love New York.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get it. So, you know, I remember being, and I was a very selfish person back then too. So I remember being very different before I got into well-being and coaching and healing. And it was like, you have to go to the complete, you know, other side to realize this is not where you want to be. So you got to kind of almost hit an extreme or rock bottom to want to get to this point.
It's basic synchronicity, right? Like the bad parts have to happen so that you appreciate the good parts. So you realize you need the good parts.
Yeah.
People that live lives that are just, you know, moderate will never go extreme, because they don't know what the extreme feels like.
Right.
So I think that's essential. And when you mentioned a while ago that not everybody's cut out to help, I agree. I mean, like, I wasn't cut out to like really do great, a lot of like things that would help a lot of people. And what I learned in reading the word is that you don't need to. One life that you touch,
is enough,
including yours, is well worth the effort already, because it's not about the number. It's about the effort and the I mean, because we're all built differently, right? And if you read this book called The Purpose Driven Life, I couldn't read that book back then because I was like so engrossed with the material world that I couldn't get through chapter 4 because I couldn't do what they wanted, the book wanted me to do, right? But when I got to the diagnosis, I was like breezing through the book until I got to a part where it says, your mission in this world, number one, is to get to know the Creator. That's the most important thing, because sometimes we look for our purpose, not thinking that we don't even know the that being who is giving us the purpose, and yet we want to find our purpose. That sounds weird, right? Like it's like going to war and you don't know who the general is or the president is. You're just gonna go to war. And the other thing is, I realized in that book that your mission is really based on your talent. So God gave you talents. God gave you skills. Like in your case, it's communication. In my case, it's probably communication, also in music. We are doing what we need to do now. We are where we are. We are where we need to be. So when I found out about the disease, I was thinking, you know, I want to do all these great things, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, you know, you're just relax and be, you are where you're supposed to be. And I guess, you know, I'm channeling my talents to really help people. And if it reaches more people, then good. If not, then that's what's important, that you really tried to work on that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, Stephen, I believe in a concept called divine timing. Okay. And it's something I learned about from Theta Healing, which is a type of healing coaching technique that I practice with my clients.
I am.
Okay. So,
I should do it with you. I did it once.
Well, you should, you know, it's very, definitely very eye-opening for a lot of people. Mm. Now, this concept of divine timing is such that, you know, each one of us here on this planet have a divine timing. So it's like something we are meant to do. And it's definitely connected to the Creator. It's something that we have sort of set up with the Creator. So very much the idea of God, or, you know, what you put your faith in, is involved in it. And the idea is, some of us have a lot of divine timing, some of us have one, but our divine timing has to do with what we've come here to do, like why we are here on this planet, you know, what our life purpose is. Yeah. And it's really in line with a lot of what you're saying. And it's about, you know, who yeah. we touch. And it could be that one little child, you know, who goes on to make a huge difference in this world. It could be one person yeah. who is about to jump off a building and you said the right thing, you know, or it could be, you know, you're talking to thousands of people, or you're on national television. So every person has something very specific, and they're yeah. meant to do it. And often it shows up. And this is a little bit of my experience being thrown into the definition of divine timing, is often it comes after an awakening.
Yeah.
And that awakening, as I also mentioned, comes through, you know, failure, divorce, broken dreams, marriages, yeah. you know, illness, etc. And it's like that very, very difficult challenge puts us in the hot seat. It puts us in a tight spot, and we got to figure our way out. And as we climb out of that hole, we become whole. You know, we become the people that we were actually meant to be. You know, and you talked a little bit about that. And suddenly, when we come into our being, we are now the people who are of the ability, the resources, the energy, the vibration to go out and carry out these divine timings. So ultimately, yep. when we find our path, or we find ourselves, I believe there is some contribution. There are some people, or many, or one person that we will touch. It's kind of inevitable, but we have to go through those difficulties, those challenges, and perhaps mm-hmm. really being very honest with ourselves to start that journey of well-being that you're talking about. Is this something you yeah. also relate to?
I'm 100% with you. I mean, I do believe in the concept of karma, reincarnation, and all of these things, right? This, you know, despite conflicting views of like faith, I believe in what I feel in my heart is true.
Yeah.
So I believe that, you know, there's more than one life. I believe in eternity. I believe in God. I believe that we need to do good, all these things, right? And it's pretty generic across different faiths. Like to do good and to do all of these things, that then you have purpose. And so what I feel is that people should not wait for that awakening. And that's my purpose. I feel like it's part of my purpose. Like I start with my friends who are still pretty much in the circle. I'm like, don't wait for this thing to happen to you. You don't need it to happen to you, right? You don't need an illness. You don't need a divorce. We have that information, and I'm sharing it with you now. It's hard, because I always tell people, you know, imagine yourself in my shoes, and then that's like 500% still not accurate. Like it's you know, it's not hard to be in my shoes, right? But if you really, really immerse yourself in what we're talking about right now, everybody should be doing it, right? COVID is already the biggest awakening for everyone. Like, right. you know, COVID is a blessing. I know it's shut down world economies, but it's brought families closer together. It's brought people closer to their faith.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, it's a lot of benefits. Like I can't even, you know, go on with the list, but if we focus on the bad things, then yeah, you'll feel bad. But I'm a very positive person. So I will always nitpick on the positive things that are happening over the bad things. And it's like your body. I learned this, that when you are in pain, when you focus on the part of your body that's in pain, the more it'll become painful, right? But if you focus on the other parts of your body that are not painful, that are, you know, you're breathing well, you know, your eyes are clear, then you start digressing from the pain,
yeah.
and the pain starts fading away. And it's happened. I've done it. I know it works.
Well, that's actually the best example of being positive, right? I mean, yeah. what you're talking about is positivity. The more you are positive, the more you kind of bring yourself away from negativity and pain and suffering. Yeah. And all you got to do is keep focusing on it. You got to keep feeling that way. And you got to keep kind of bringing up those feelings in yourself. And, you know, you will actually start to feel better. You will actually start to feel happier. You will actually start to look at things from a more positive lens. So I totally agree with you on that.
The challenge really is consistency. And I struggle with it. Like, to heal, I believe in four pillars. That's your lifestyle, your faith, your mind, and your emotions.
Okay.
Those are the four pillars of health to get over an illness. And if you just take medicine, it's not going to solve it, because you are here because of years of lifestyle issues that you didn't address, like maybe your food, your sleep, your environment. And emotions, your body speaks your mind, right? Like you have disease because emotions have gotten stuck in your body. And that emotion, since you were a child, just kept festering in parts of your body because of certain things. Like they say, if it's your lungs, it's sadness and grief.
Right.
If it's fear, it's your gut. You know, I mean, it's a lot of woo-woo stuff, but I truly believe in it because you can see it. Like when you're scared, where do you feel it? You feel it in your gut, right? Like your stomach starts to like grumble.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that the only sentient part of our body is our mind. I think all the parts of our body have neuroplasticity, or, you know, are sentient. That the problem with us is we think we've forgotten the past. And for us to heal, we need to forget the past and live the future now. I don't know if you've probably heard of this concept, Sanaya.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, this is a lot of Joe Dispenza, a lot of these people that I, you know, I follow right now. And it's so true. But the problem is, how do you live the future now, the future self that you want now? Because for you to heal, you need to leave the past behind.
Correct.
If you still think of, you know, of all the hurt that you have in the past, you're never healed, right? Because it's just stuck there in your body. So now you have to live the future as if it's a memory. Because when we're feeling that pain in the past, that's a memory. You know, like depression is a memory, right? Anxiety is the future, right? Because you're thinking of something that hasn't happened yet. So what you need to do is live the future self that you want to manifest. Like you're healthy, you're strong, you're abundant, you know, you have a happy life, but you have to feel it now like it's a memory. And that's the challenge for me, because it's really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you, I mean, like a memory is easy because it's already happened, like, but to train your body and your mind to feel it now, what hasn't happened yet is a problem. So that's the challenge for a lot of people who are manifesting a future life that they want, because you really need to feel it. You can't ask the universe for it. You can't be like, oh Lord, I want to be. Oh Lord, please heal me. You need to speak as if it's already happened. Lord, thank you for my healthy body. Thank you for my abundance. You know, that's how the universe works, right? When it comes to manifestation.
Yeah, you have to speak from a point where you've already accepted that it has happened.
Yeah.
You've already accepted that blessing. You've already accepted the gift, which is thank you for this healthy body you've given me, because I've now accepted it as my truth, as it's real. It's actually happening. Even though in the physical reality, it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. But you need to convince your brain, your mind, that you're already there.
Yeah.
And that's when you can bring it into your life.
Yeah. And that's the challenge with like the medical industry, because the medical industry, they want to remind you that you're sick because they want you to buy their medicine.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if we're going through a lot of topics that we shouldn't go
through. No, this is great. This is great.
Like for me, that's essential, that when you get diagnosed, when you find out about an illness, you just leave it behind and you be like, okay, thank you for that information, but I've learned this from my mentors that you should leave it behind and take back the power from the doctor and say, but now I'm in control of my life. I want to be this person, not the person you say I am. So if the doctor says you're sick, you're not going to be like, you know, that's why I love my doctor, because my doctor didn't give me a timeline, didn't say, oh, you're going to be dead in like X months or whatever. Right? He said, like, who knows? Like, you know, the average that we give is a median. It's about, you know, an average of the people that die based on this particular illness, right? Are you a median? You shouldn't be a median. You shouldn't think like a median. So that's something I appreciated about my doctor. And so you shouldn't give the power to other people to dictate how long you're going to live and how you're going to live your life.
Yeah.
That's important.
I can totally understand the space you're coming from, Stephen. I think that for a lot of people, it's very easy, by the way, for a lot of people to feel the negative emotion before something has happened, like the fear or the anxiety, right? Or the stress about something that could be. And we really kind of like, we own that feeling, you know, like our entire,
it's easy, right? It's an easier vibration. The lower vibrations for me are easier to feel because it's a lazy vibration.
Correct, right?
I'll just follow my doctor. Oh, yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend is right, right?
Yeah. Or like the whole like poor me, or this is the end of it. You know, when people spiral out and they're like, you know, I'm not even going to bother fighting. I'm just going to give up. Like that's the easy thing.
Now I'll tell you what the reason is. Part of the reason, just to interject to what you're saying, is a lot of media, especially in the Philippines, the victim mentality media. I mean, I'm a communications graduate, so I know how movies and films are made in the Philippines. Everybody is a victim. You know, the movie starts off, there's a victim already. Like the wife is a victim. The maid is the victim. The poor person is a victim. Right. Nobody can get out of their struggles because you will end up a victim.
Right. But that's the whole colonial history that has kind of become part of the culture, right? Which is we are victims, right? When you've been colonized, you are a victim. And so I think the general population, there is that energy of, I'm just going to accept that I'm a victim and there's nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people just give into it. And they just think this is it, you know, this is what my life is going to be. Or someone told me that this is what I'm going to get. This is all I'm going to get. And I'm just going to accept it. Right.
Yeah.
So how do you go from that to being like, wait, I'm going to live an entirely different reality. I'm going to choose an entirely different, you know, ending for myself, or I'm going to beat the odds. Like, how do you go from that? Because you're from here. You're a communications major. You understand this. How would you?
Good question.
Yeah. How would you break this down for someone listening in?
You know, I'm gonna admit there are days. I when people ask me how are you, I'm like, there are days that are there are ups and downs. There are good days and bad days. There are bad days because there are days that I'm like, damn. I just, you know, I'm so tired of going through all the treatments and protocols. I just want to rest. And if rest means I'm going to leave this world. You know, there, you get those thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And I know it's like a bit dramatic, but then, I mean, it's serious. People going through serious illness have these thoughts.
Yeah.
So you really need to power through. And one of the secrets, or I'll give you a couple of secrets that I try to do, is really find a reason to live, right? And in my case, like for example, it's a loved one. It's my fiance. It's a future life I want to have with kids that I adore. You know, I love kids. You know, it's a future life. I imagine I'm helping a lot of people, and I can only do that if I'm alive. So I visualize these things, and they say visualize is not the right word. You shouldn't visualize it. You should feel it. Like you should
live it, experience it,
experience it in your mind. Don't just visualize it. That's the right statement, and that keeps me going. Family, love, kindness. And then a lot of it is also centered on me being, I guess, an entrepreneur, that I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to beat me. I've gone through so much odds. I've started a company with zero money and it's thriving. I've started nightlife with nobody knows who I am. I came from nowhere. I'm not even like from a socialite family, and yet I was able to, you know, do all these big events, parties, you know, memorable. And so for me, it's that, it's also that training that, that helps me power through. And you just need to find that, that your reason, right? So for some moms, it's the kids, you know, they want to make sure that they're alive for their kids when they, until they grow up.
Yeah.
So there, yeah. And of course, sorry, the most important thing is faith.
Right.
Faith, because you need to surrender. If you don't surrender and you try to take control, that's when you end up dead, because you can't control. Only God knows how to make things right. And I know for a lot of people, they're like, no, God. But, you know, I can't explain it, but I just believe in it. I have faith. I have faith that the Lord above is in control of my life. And if it's my time, it's my time. If it's not, it's not.
I got a couple of really great things from what you said. I love the phrase power through whatever you're going, you know, power up. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I definitely want to share that with our listeners. The other thing is, of course, faith being sort of the ingredient that makes all of this work. I think we really got that from what you said. But I also like what you said, which is find your reason. You know, there's a reason mm-hmm. that's going to get you through any difficulty in your life, any challenge, be it your kids, the person you love, you know, the contribution you want to make, your purpose, right? That's all tied into mm-hmm. that purpose. And I think these are some really great, great ways to kind of, I would say, focus on in terms of pushing yourself forward in any situation that you might be stuck in.
Because I challenge your listeners out there, like when you open a business, you have a mission, vision, you have, you know, objectives, goals, sales targets and everything, right? But have you done that to your life? Have you done something like that for your life? Because I'm going to bet 90% have not. And the question is, why not? Like, you're willing to do it for a company, but you're not willing to do it for your life. Does it make sense, right?
Right. But that's because, you know, we've been conditioned to think that making money is more important than the kind of person we are, or, you know, relationships or love. We've been trained to think money is sort of the end goal for a lot of people.
Yeah. But even with companies now, companies are more woke than humans, because companies have social responsibilities now. Like, some companies are social enterprises that they were built just to help people.
Right.
But we don't do that for our lives. Like,
right.
We just live our lives like robots, like people in the matrix.
Yeah.
You know, and then one day we'll die. I know relatives that have just been working their whole lives, never took a vacation and died. And that's sad.
That's very sad.
Right. That's sad. And I don't want that to happen to anybody. I think whether you're rich or you're not, you don't deserve to not experience this life. Because this is just a simulation of eternity, right? This is, you have to make the most out of our life here. We're like avatars. We're like consciousness put in an avatar, and we just have a finite amount of time in this world. We need to experience it. We cannot be robots that are just churning out money, working, and then what? And then at the end of the day, oh, you're gonna retire at 70. What? How are you going to enjoy life at 70, right?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking as you were speaking, Stephen, for a lot of people, it's also this idea of responsibility. And because of the responsibilities that they hold, I think a lot of people feel trapped in those responsibilities.
I love that you mentioned that. Okay, go
yeah,
ahead.
Right? And so, you know, for someone who has to put food on the table or support their family, you know, their goal is to make enough money, right? To be able to do that, to support their family. And a lot, I'm putting myself in their place, like someone who's in that situation. And they're probably thinking or saying, well, I don't have the time to think about being a contribution to the world, to contribute to anybody else, because I can barely support myself or my family. I can barely get through today, right?
So of course,
when you're in that space, you know, how do you apply a lot of what we're talking about? Like, what do you think?
It's good that you mentioned that. I wanted to touch on that. Yeah, I mean, like, it's not being insensitive to say somebody who can't afford to go on a vacation, but you know what? Happiness is relative, right? Happiness is relative. Somebody can enjoy going to Paris, but somebody can enjoy just taking a walk by Manila Bay. That's happiness, right? But what I'm talking about is the quality of time that you spend experiencing it and working. Like, there needs to be a perfect balance. Like, even if you're working for your loved one, you know, there has to be some sort of balance because you're living your life. You're not living just for somebody else. And I think that's such a really, really sad thought that you can't live your life because your life is dedicated just for somebody else. And of course, we're not talking about people that are sick. Of course, you know, you have to take care of the people who are sick, who are old. But like, as parents, for example, I believe that you bring your kids to a certain point in their lives where they can be, they can have a life of their own. But some parents work their ass off because they need to support their kids until they're 40 or older. And I think that's such a disservice for them because they could have retired earlier and enjoyed life, but because they have to work for their kids, you know, and that's the kind of responsibility that I think is not responsibility. I believe that we bring people into this world. We need to guide them, but they need to be responsible for their own lives. I don't know if you agree with me. Yeah. Some people might be like, you know, be like violently objecting to this, especially if you're living with your parents. But you need to take responsibility for your own life because, you know, you can't like say, oh, you know, I was born unlucky. There's no such thing.
Right. So I guess
no such thing. I mean, you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I guess what you're saying, and this is something that I also resonate with, Stephen, I think what you're saying is that in some cases, people use the responsibilities as an excuse not to take ownership of their own life. Like, I have to do this for other people. That's why I can't do this for myself. And that's not a good thing necessarily. It might be the intention is beautiful, which is to support or help or do something for the people you love. But maybe underneath it, there is maybe running away from kind of really doing something for yourself, which might be something people could discover or work on. Go ahead.
Because if you want to help other people, you want to be responsible for other people, you want to do it happy, right?
Yes.
You don't want to be like supporting somebody and you're miserable,
right?
So the only way for that to happen is if you're happy with yourself. And how do you make yourself happy? You find the things that you have to love yourself first before you can love others, right? That's the saying, right? So that's what I'm saying. Like, there needs to be a balance. If you're taking care of somebody, take care of yourself first. Now, you know, the concept of responsibility is also very complex. Like, it's not a one cut action for everything. But generally, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I also think that even though we are responsible for many other things in our life, there is a way to find time for ourselves, whether it's in, you know, taking care of our health, you know, eating well, exercising. Like, there are some small things that we could do and commit to that, you know, that are important. And no matter how busy you are and how much responsibility you have, there has to be a few things that you do for yourself.
Yes.
And I like, you know, you talked about the four pillars, the mind, the emotions, our faith, and one more thing.
Mm-hmm. your mind, your body, your soul, and your faith.
Your faith, yeah. And your body, right? So
emotion.
So, you know, there must be some parts of our life that are dedicated to our well-being in these four areas. Yes. And that's really what, you know, this podcast is about, right? It's about well-being. It's about self-love. And it's about finding that space in our lives that we can prioritize these different aspects. Now, tell me, Stephen, since you've done so, since you've been on this journey, right? What has changed? How is your life different? You know, what has come out of it?
Well, I'm on sabbatical for all of my businesses. I run a bunch of companies, like a lot of companies, actually. But I'm on sabbatical because now I'm thinking, like, you know, what are they worth if, you know, I'm dead? So what has changed is my schedule. What I focus on right now is healing. And healing, part of healing is really getting to know your mind. So I do a lot of meditation. I meditate every day for like an hour, 2 hours sometimes. I do a lot of things that are good for my body. Like I eat healthy. I'm plant-based, organic. You know, I've taken out a lot of the stuff that are toxic to my body, from deodorants that are metals, toothpaste, shampoo. It's a bit extreme in my case, but because of course I'm going through something, but also I've taken out a lot of toxic people. That's important. You won't believe, but the first thing I did when I found out was I called and reached out to people that I've hurt, that or have hurt me, and I apologized.
Wow.
Or I forgave them. Forgave them in my mind, because forgiving, unlike apologizing, is for you. I mean, the difference, just for your listeners, difference of apologizing and saying sorry is saying sorry, you need a response. You need the other person to say, okay, I forgive you. But forgiveness is you can forgive somebody in your mind and you release that negative energy attached to the other person and you don't need a response because you're doing it for yourself, for your peace of mind. And that has amazing powers. I can't explain what it is, but whatever progress I have in my illness, I would credit a big part of it to that, releasing a lot of that emotion. I also I exercise, important for your body. Now I exercise more. I try to take out negative thoughts and I'm focusing on my relationship, which is very important to me right now. I never really put any importance to relationships in the past, but now it's more relevant than ever to me. And my passions. So there's music, there's, you know, speaking like this. But I'm going to start painting again, you know, stuff that would really help my inner system be better.
Yeah. It sounds beautiful. And I think this is the blessings you're talking about. Like every single one of these things that you listed is the blessing that has come out of, you know, having an illness to kind of wake you up. You know, this is the awakening that you've sort of realized and recognized that a life without all of this is not really worth much. Right? That we need to focus on the things that, you know, that make us feel good, like relationships and our hobbies, our passions, and, you know, feeling good, like physically and mentally and emotionally. And I think that maybe this episode we have is a reminder to people is, you know, don't wait for something bad to happen to make these changes, right? Like, let's make these changes already. Like, let's do it because it's good for our body. It's good for our mental health. It's good for our well-being. And like you said, there's no greater time for awakening than right now with COVID, right? I mean, people are literally looking at death in the eye. I mean, less so now because of the vaccines, but there are a lot of people who, you know, have different positions on that. There are a lot of people who, you know, who have had COVID and it's been pretty bad. There are people living with long-term effects of COVID. So there are a lot of people who are actually dealing with sickness on a daily basis at this point. You know, everyone we know. Yes. I mean, I came back to Manila and like pretty much everyone I know has someone or the other who's COVID positive right now.
I think everybody's dealing with something, whether it's COVID or a relationship issue. I think we all are dealing with something. I asked my fiance, I'm like, do you know anybody who's happy, super happy with no worries, no cares in this world? I said, name me one of your friends. And she couldn't, like, because I can't even. And again, that's the point. Like, you know, it can be an illness for one, but you're not to say, oh, I have it worse, because somebody can have it worse, but for some other reason. So it's really just an appreciation of what you have in life and what are you going to do to get over all of these challenges, because these challenges are part of life and making you stronger. I mean, ironically, at the start of the pandemic, I wrote a song called Kapit Lang. And it was written like maybe a week before the pandemic. It wasn't meant to be a pandemic song.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I wrote it with my good friend Top Suzara, who from Freestyle before. Mm-hmm. And it was supposed to be about mental health, because when we were writing it, we were like, oh, what are we going to talk about? I said, you know, I don't want to write about love songs again, because I've written a lot of those. But it just writes about something that's not being talked about. And I wrote Kapit Lang, and if you research the lyrics, since you're on Spotify, guys, check out the song. The lyrics talk about not giving up and that there is, just hold on, Kapit Lang. But you know what? I didn't realize that exactly a year after, that song was a letter to myself.
Wow.
Because I found out about the illness a year after. So I'm like, wow, I mean, the universe is really talking to you, right? Because you wrote a letter to yourself in a song a year before, and the song's still relevant now. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how the universe works.
Do you think that everything that happened in your life at the end of the day was leading you up to these life-defining moments? I mean, you talked about the three chapters or turning points. Like, it was almost like orchestrated in some way to get you to where you are today.
Yeah,
right?
I believe so, because the situations alone are just, it's so coincidental that it's so weird not to be a plan. It looks like scenes in a movie.
Right.
So, you know, from the song to COVID and then the diagnosis because of COVID. And like, you know, it's like, it's just so funny. And I recently I got COVID again and I'm okay. But you know, it's like just blows left and right.
Yeah.
And then it's like jabs, seeing if you can take it.
Are you still
standing? After a while, after getting jabbed and punched several times, you just realize, you know, it's just a match that you need to, it's part of the game. You know, you need to go through it.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that our life, you know, there's a divine plan. There's something going on in there. And sometimes we take a step back and we can kind of see where it's all been taking us. And that, I think, mm-hmm. helps us get a lot more clarity in, in why we're here and what we should do and what we could do with what we have left on, in this life. So
definitely,
I think this has been a great wake-up call for everyone listening in. Stephen, I think that your story is something very, very inspiring to all those people who are listening in. Now, Stephen, before we get to the end of our episode, I ask my guests for their Project Loving Myself sort of message or mantra, something that helps you get through, you know, every day, something that is connected to self-love or inspires you, something that you can share with our listeners that has helped you.
Okay, well, I talked about the four pillars, right? So I encourage your listeners out there to practice nurturing the four pillars with or without any illness, with or without any life tragedy, because these are the things that will get you through life successfully or fulfilled. And we talk about the mind. So we know that the mind, there's consciousness behind the mind. The brain is not just an organ that thinks. There's a consciousness that was put in there when we were born. And it is very strong. We have to believe that we are not just, oh, we're just human. You know that saying, we're just human. That's such a fallacious statement, because
it's a cop out.
Because even the research says, like, we have so much untapped potential, and the mind starts with the mind. So do a lot of meditation, research on it. Joe Dispenza for me is a good resource. I work with mentors like Master Delpe from here in the Philippines. Because the mind can regulate your body. Remember that your body or your mind does not know reality in the reality that you're creating. Like, I don't know if I can explain that well, but basically if you feel strong, so a good example is that they did a research. Somebody who imagined that they were working out,
yeah,
actually grew muscles.
I read that one.
That's just an example. Yeah. Okay. And then emotions. Next, emotions is, of course, you know, you need to let go of all the pain from your past, because even if you think you've forgiven people, sometimes you haven't. And that will affect you in the now. So let go of the past, because there's no point. There's no point holding on to it. And the thing is, people are so addicted to pain without knowing it. We love that, you know, the wives that stick with their husbands, because it's not that they're addicted to the pain, but they're addicted to the life of negative emotions. They don't know how to get out of it. They don't know who they are without it. You know, I mean, like, and that's, you know, it's like working and you're working like a horse, but you're so used to the stress that you don't want to get out of it.
And you know, and you don't know how to live without it, right? You have to kind of relearn, or you got to almost start from scratch to understand what it is to live differently.
Yeah.
Most people are stuck in that whole, you know, situation because they don't know there's a different way to do it.
Yes. And I'm not saying don't work, because I believe people should work, because if your passion is your work, then it's good.
Right.
It drives you. But I'm talking about people that are working like robots. Conveyor machines. You know, you have to get out of that. You need to find work that you're passionate about.
Yeah.
Because if not, then you're going to get sick, or heart attacks happen every Monday for a reason, because they're already thinking about their work on a Monday, right? Monday morning is when it happens. And then, so that's emotion. And then your body is about lifestyle. So, you know, if you're a car, you're not going to put like fuel that's dirty. So why are you going to eat food that's not healthy? Why are you going to put things in your body that has metal, from mercury amalgams in your teeth to deodorants that have aluminum, toothpaste that have fluoride? I mean, the list goes on, right? You know, cooking pans that have these Teflon materials that like seep into your food. You know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. But take care of your body. And then the last is your faith, your soul. Because even if you take care of all the three things, if you don't believe in a higher power, if you don't believe in somebody, some entity out there that is in control of your life, then you or your ego will get the best of you. Because you think you made all of this happen in your life? Do you think you created yourself? No. Something happened, something we don't understand yet. And you just have to have faith.
Yeah.
So I'm Christian. I'm not saying everybody should be Christian. It's up to you guys. But I feel my faith drawn towards Christianity. But if you're not Christian, believe in something, a higher power. So that's my advice, the four pillars.
I love it. You know, it's such a beautiful way, Stephen, to end this episode with the four pillars, because it's essentially a summary and probably, you know, I would say a list of instructions that anyone can follow. You know, like if you want to just make some changes, even if you pick one of them up from each of the pillars that you mentioned, I think that's a huge, huge, positive change in your life. So, really thank you for sharing that, Stephen. And thank you for, you know, how candid you've been in this conversation and everything you've shared. I think it goes a long way in sort of helping everyone else who's kind of struggling with similar things. So,
yeah, I hope, you know, I really hope our conversation does touch somebody, because even with the song, I'll get messages on YouTube or on my DM saying, hey, you know, your song, it just alleviated, you know, all these negative thoughts I was having. And I was like, wow, just one song, just listening to it on Spotify. So yeah, there is power in communication. So I really hope we did something good today.
And I'm sure we did. Thank you again, Stephen. Yeah. Would you mind sharing your details on social media if people want to ask you any questions or write in or, you know, talk to you? Mm-hmm. Please go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't really post much nowadays because it's part of the detox. But of course, my music is out there. So if you want to follow my music, it's Stephen_Koo on Instagram. Look for Stephen Koo on YouTube and Facebook. I have a Facebook page for the artist profile. So just in case you want to hear about new songs coming out, mm-hmm. or collaborations I'm doing. I'm actually a big supporter and advocate of Hopeline, which is the suicide hotline by the Natasha Goldburn Foundation. So I've actually donated my song, Kapit Lang, for their cause to help reach more people, because during this pandemic, they've had an astronomical increase, like I think 400 to 800% increase of callers from kids as young as 7 years old. Oh. You believe that? So yeah, I mean, I really hope you guys support Hopeline as well to help them with their funds and everything.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Stephen. And I'm so glad we did this today.
Thanks, Anaya. See you soon.
What a heartwarming conversation this was with Stephen. I think taking away the four pillars of health is something worth doing from this episode. Perhaps even journaling the steps you might want to take to uphold each of these four pillars. Share some of yours and tag at Project Loving Myself Podcast and at Sanaya Gurnamal with your thoughts. Subscribe to this podcast and drop me a like if this floats your boat. The quote that inspired me from this podcast is, "It is not the length of life, but the depth of life." And that's by Ralph Waldo Emerson. So how deep will you go into the abyss of life? Are you ready to take that red pill? Take the journey with me. You are loved. Thank you for joining me on Project Loving Myself, brought to you by Podcast Network Asia and powered by Podmetrics. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.